Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the Traversing the Stars podcast. Today's special guest is Peggy Liu. You know her as Mrs. Chen in the movie Venom. She once more plays Mrs. Chen in Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. Now join me as we go traversing the stars. Hello, Miss Liu. Thank you so much for coming to the Traversing the Stars podcast. I'm a big fan of yours. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Oh, it's definitely my pleasure. I've enjoyed your character a lot, especially in the last two Venom movies. It was a lot of fun. And for considering the parts that you had, you actually are one of the most memorable parts in that movie, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, besides Tom Hardy.
Mm. Oh, well, of course, the main character. But I will say, as a supporting character, you definitely deserve way more screen time. You're such a fun character.
Oh, that's so kind of you to say. Thank you.
Oh, I definitely mean that. Me and my wife was watching Venom and Venom 2 actually again over the weekend, and we both commented that your character deserves a lot more time.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, that's so kind. I'm touched. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it. And when they make a Venom 3, I assume you're coming back.
Did you call Sony? Have you talked to Sony yet?
Oh, I will definitely send if they're watching right now, this is a demand.
Yes, please, Sony. Yeah. Hope so.
So one thing I always like to ask my guests when they come on, the first thing I usually check with them is, what inspired you to become an actress and who were your earliest influences?
Well, as you could tell, I am Asian. So that's not the most common profession that we go into.
I've noticed.
So I went to pharmacy school to become an actress, and after high school, I wanted to go to, I told my parents, I'm going to move to New York and become an actress, and I'm going to work as a waitress. Well, they shit it in their pants. They go, oh, no, that ain't happening. And go, you better go to college. And so I thought, okay, all right, fine. So I thought to myself, I could go to college. I could be done 3 years, 4 years tops. So then, of course, my parents said, hell no. No, you better come out with some kind of degree, some kind of initials behind your name, preferably like that has a D as in doctoral. So then after I went through so many different majors, and finally my mom just gave up and says, why don't you just try pharmacy? It's so much faster and you will have a doctoral degree. So that's how I got started, because one of my friends that I met, don't tell my parents, when I was at a bar partying, I met this girl. And then,
oh, no.
And then she was saying, yeah, I'm going to, I'm moving to LA to become an actress. I go, oh, well, I didn't know that was an option. So then I thought, well, I'm not going to LA. I'm going to go to New York. And then that's how I pitched it to my parents. And then, I wound up becoming a pharmacist. That's pharmacist / actress.
Well, actually, it's very impressive you got your doctorate. You went to the University of Colorado in Denver for your doctorate. So where did you learn to become an actress? Like, where was your training? Where did that happen?
After college.
After college? You literally learned on the job?
Yeah. So after college, I moved to New York City to become an actress, because at that time, my parents said that after you finish college, then you could do whatever you want. So of course, after college, my parents said, we're willing to take out a loan and buy you a pharmacy.
Oh, everything Jesus. We have.
Yeah. I said, hell no. My parents, thank God I was guided by them, or I would have been so broke. So after pharmacy school, I moved to New York to become an actress. I was taking classes full time and working part time. Well, first I have to do my intern hours as a pharmacist, you know, to become a pharmacist, then I have to take the board. So for a long time, I was just having no money at all and working as an intern, pharmacy intern, part-time.
So let me get this straight. Your parents did not want you to become an actress so strongly they're going to buy you a pharmacy to make sure it didn't happen.
And they're willing to go into debt forever.
To keep you that from happening. Jesus. That's a very strong feeling.
Yes, because they have this, because they think that, you know, Hollywood, the sex, like my parents had so much hope for me that they think that I would be sleeping my way to the top. Apparently. Seriously. That's what they were afraid of. Go, oh my gosh, my daughter is so lost. She doesn't know what she wants to be. She's probably going to fuck her way to the top and fuck her way to the bottom and wind up homeless in New York City.
So how did you finally break it to them that, you know, mom, dad, sorry, but I'm actually going to be an actress. Tough. This is happening. Like were they even like happy for you when you got your first role?
I know.
No. They thought it was over for you at that point. Like, oh crap, it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, they still think to this day it's a hobby.
You think it's a hobby at this point?
Oh yes. I mean, they just keep asking me, when are you gonna get serious about life? When are you gonna get like, yeah.
But you've been successful. You've been in so many things. I mean, I think you've been acting, for almost 20 something years already. Yeah. I mean, you've been successful. You've been doing it for a while. And they still haven't bought in that this is a thing?
No, because it's not cool, man. Because nobody on set calls me, hey, Dr. Lou. You know what I mean? So like to them, but that's their thinking. You know, that's what, okay. I don't even know what to say.
So when in your credits, I'm surprised you don't have yourself under Dr. Peggy Liu under your acting credits.
Well, I wanted to, but I didn't want to like, seem too conceited.
Oh, so when they saw you, when they watch you on your big screen, do they watch your movies on the big screen or do they keep away from it as like angry spite?
You know, I don't know because I'm afraid to ask them. I've taken my mom into audition rooms. And then afterwards, she'll be like, oh my God, that was so big. Why'd you do that? So I think they probably cringe. I don't know.
Aw. So when did you
realize? It's not a bad thing, though. But it's not a bad thing.
Oh.
I love my parents.
Oh, I mean, don't be wrong. There's nothing better than parents who want that much for you that they literally were going to buy you a pharmacy. I don't know many parents who thought to themselves, I will buy my daughter an entire pharmacy to make sure she's successful. I mean, that is hardcore dedicated parenting.
Right. While they go broke and homeless.
Right.
Just
right.
Have a pharmacy.
Right. I mean, no, to me, that is so impressive. Your parents deserve, you know, an award for trying.
Yeah. Well, they didn't try hard enough.
They didn't. Okay. That is true. They should have bought you two pharmacies.
Exactly. I would have said.
So when did you feel that you made it as an actress? Was it a point that you felt you've done it, you're now professional, that this is really a career that's worked for you?
I don't really think you would ever get to that point.
No?
Even after my Oscar speech, I would still feel like, shit, when is the next job gonna come? You know, like there's always that fear or... God, I hate to use the word fear because that's so negative. Yeah, yes, I am scared.
But that makes sense. I mean, the fear must be a motivating factor that you feel you could keep moving out there and getting the next part because at any minute, this feels like it could be the last, you know, so you got to keep pushing, you know? So it's a powerful motivator.
But then sometimes you're so tired. Like the other day, you know, like right now we're doing self-tapes at home. So the other day I was thinking, oh, I could get it in before I get to work. So easy. Well, I didn't. And I was late to work, came back, fed my dog, walked my dog. By the time I get back to the on camera, it was midnight. By the time I finished editing, it's like 4 a.m. I'm like, oh, yeah, literally. And I think also because I'm a little bit too anal about certain things, so things tend to take longer with me.
Yeah. Well, I can get that. I mean, for my show, you know, I have to edit, especially I try to cut out all my ums, and the ums are God, they kill me. Every time I listen to my show, I'm like, another son of a bitch. Edit that out.
It takes a long time to produce a podcast.
Yeah, I my guess is, and what I think is standard, is a 30-minute show will take about an hour and a half of editing.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
Then your poor wrist, your shoulder, and then your, yeah, like, it's tough.
You're doing your auditions, you actually got to do it online. And how does that affect you in the audition, trying to do it when you don't have someone to talk to? You're literally doing it by yourself on tape.
I like it.
It's better?
I don't know if it's better because then I have more. I don't get, because I have more than one chance now because I'm doing it at home.
Ah.
If I don't like it, I went, shit, delete. Let me delete it, you know? So there is that, but... And then it is also challenging, but I think, but the fact that I don't have to drive in LA Even though I have a Prius, it's nice not to have to drive and sit in traffic. And then sometimes you get so anxious just sitting in traffic. And by the time you get to the audition room, sometimes it's an emotional scene and you're like, fuck. Man, I already cried in the car. I can't cry anymore.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there is that. And so here, I think at home sometimes it's easier because then I could be like, if I feel like fucking crying my eyes out, could be, not because I want, only if the scene calls for it.
Course, course.
I feel like sometimes I could be more, be freer.
Because
Like
you
this
get.
wall, like a blank canvas. Like there's not, you know, it's just sometimes it's more freeing, but sometimes also because I'm so anal, it's also constricting at the same time.
So how does that even work? So are they giving you a scene to perform, or are you just showing different emotions?
No, we just do like so they give us the sides, you know, I get it from my reps, and then and I would have to get a reader, like maybe somebody on Zoom reading with me while I have a camera. And then recording, and then like sometimes I'll keep my buddies online for a very long time, and they'll be going, "Oh my God, what the fuck, man?" What are you doing? Right? And then I edit it, and then we have this website that we submit through, and then the casting director opens it. Sometimes I get a call back, and it will be through Zoom.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I mean, it seems to be some definite benefits to not doing it in person, but I will imagine I'm sort of when on my off time, I like to write. And as a writer, I know I feel like there's never everything I write is never quite good enough. You know, I always think it. You know, I need to do it better, and that kind of it's always frustrating. As an actress doing these auditions, the taping, do you feel the same way where it just never quite feels good enough? You know.
Exactly. And then am I saying, am I even on the right track? You know, is my interpretation even correct? But I don't like, well, I know I'm not that. Well, based just on the text itself, you know, I am assume there's so much assumptions of what I think where the script is going based on my character. There's just so much, so many things involved. And sometimes, like, I could be off track. Like, just like on Monday in class, my interpretation of the English was completely off. And my coach was saying, "What the fuck are you thinking? Like, no, that's not what it means." And so sometimes, yeah, so sometimes my interpretation could be completely off.
So do you so who help who's helping you with the interpretation? Do you have someone who sits with you and kind of goes over it?
Well, usually I always get coached. So sometimes I have even two coaches. Usually for big projects, I will go to two coaches to make sure like I'm on the right track. Because sometimes I feel like art is so subjective. You know, you're the writer, you have this vision in your head. And then I read it, I might have a different version in my head. And then so you're the one with the power thinking, "Well, who the hell, what, she can't even read English. She just has no idea what I'm trying to say here in my script." You know, so anyway, so I have two coaches I go to, and so for Venom, I coach with these. I have one comedy coach and one theatrical coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I divide them up, and then so I went to both of them, worked on it, and so for big projects I do that, but I always get coached, so to make sure because my English may be off.
So you said there's a comedy coach and a theatrical coach. Is what they're coaching you as an actress different in how you're approaching the comedy versus how you're approaching theater acting?
Yes,
Oh,
because
okay.
because comedy is so technique driven, plus you got to have the feelings to go with the technique, and it's very methodical. My comedy teacher is very, it's like so anal, like we do script analysis, and it's like anally we break it down, and then you have to let it go,
Yeah.
and then let the character come to you.
You know, that's to me, I mean, as someone who knows nothing about acting, because you know, I would never be a good actor at all. I'm way too stiff in front of people to be a good actor. But I always thought, because comedy, when you watch it on TV, looks so loose and so relaxed. You wouldn't think that it's so strict, but it is apparently so technical. And you like it just like my instincts on it would be just the opposite. And that's so fascinating.
No, I think you would, because you are a teacher, so you're constantly, you are an actor 1,000% all the time. You have to entertain these kids, And as soon as you know, like they're checking out, you probably like go boom, and you come up with a different approach, you know, of how to talk to them to get their attention back, right?
I totally appreciate that, and I like that. I mean, but luckily, no one's trying. I'm not trying to impress anybody else with trying to do their part. I can just do my own thing, and the kids don't know good acting anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I have to disagree. I think kids know good acting. That's why like they check out when it's a bad teacher, right? Because I
That part's
develop,
true.
right?
That part is very true. The one thing I do try to do is be genuine, which is, I think, it's
Of
probably the
course,
hardest thing to
right.
do as an actor is try to be genuine. You're trying so hard to be everybody else, it's harder to actually be genuine.
Yeah, like there's always a part of you that's in the character, and then to be so open and let you like showing every part of you to strangers.
Yeah, I imagine that. Sorry, to me, the closest I could come up with is when I do teach. Every so often, we would have a teacher evaluation where the principal comes in to rate you as a teacher, and the amount how self-conscious you immediately become knowing that someone literally watching you and judging what you're doing changes everything.
Right? Yeah, I know. I know. I know. We get judged every day.
It's tough.
It
So,
really is.
so. Wait, how you got involved with Venom? Was that an audition that they set up for you, or did you know hear about it and go to them?
No, I got the audition and I went to the audition and the casting director was great. And they adjusted me three times. And I must have having a because sometimes the nerves is so high, but because in the audition room, the waiting room, I was looking around, I went, oh shit, there's like that girl from the Joy Luck Club. And it was like, and like, and I'm sorry, and you start hallucinating, going, oh shit, what the fuck am I doing here? You know, I just drove across town. It was on the west side, and I live like an hour. I live in the valley, so it's approximately an hour drive without traffic. And so I'm sitting in there just like fucking sweating. And but the casting director, that the office is so good. So it's John Pasadena's office, and he was so, the ladies in there are just so patient and so wonderful. And so they gave me like three different chances. And thank God I was able to listen. You know, I was able to let it sink in and digest. And able to deliver.
So, did you know who Venom was as a character before you got the
I looked
role?
it up. No, I
You looked
had to. Well,
it
yeah, because yeah, I had to look it up and I had to study. I studied some of the characters, but then I already knew about like, you know, like Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk. Well, they're not even the same universe.
up. Well, technically, actually, they are. Technically, now anyway.
Yeah, but then I grew up watching like those characters, and I wasn't as familiar with Venom. And then, but then I knew of Tom Hardy, and so sometimes like in the breakdown meaning like that's the information you get about the audition. They'll tell you who the producers are, who the studio, the network executives, and then sometimes they'll tell you who the main actor is if it's been cast. And I saw Tom Hardy. I went, oh shit. He's good looking and he's like such a dramatic actor, you know, and that I think I should have never met that because sometimes that puts an extra pressure.
So hearing that Tom Hardy was in the movie, that must have, I mean, a name like Tom Hardy, when it's attached to a movie, you automatically know it's a huge level movie. You know it's gonna be probably watched by a lot of people. So that impact you directly when you saw, oh crap, it is Tom Hardy. Like, does that up your game?
I think it just puts more pressure. Like there's just more anxiety. There's just so much stuff going on, you know, with right before you go into the audition room, and to let that go or just not let it bother you. I think that's what they to say, meditate, empty out your head before you go into the auditions. And yeah, and you know, and then when I shot Venom One. Oh my God, let me tell you a story about Tom.
Okay.
No, we did not make out in his trailer. It was in my trailer. No.
Allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't tell TMZ that. Okay, so I got on set first, And it was in Atlanta, so I was just running my lines, and I was just facing a wall talking to myself like fucking psycho, like blah, 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 blah. And I was saying his lines, my line, and I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I was going through my notes for my coaches. And then so here comes somebody, he taps me on the shoulder and turns me around and gives him a big hug. And then he says, "Hi, I'm Tom Hardy." I went, "Who?" It went over my head. I went, "Who?" And then he says, "I'm Tom Hardy, we're in the scene together." I went, "Fucking A." I don't even know what came out of my mouth. I go, because I was so shocked that he was so humble. And then so I guess you could tell I was like having a nervous breakdown. He says, "Do you want to run lines?" I went, and I'm trying to be cool. I go, "Hell no, man, I got it." But, I mean, I'm sure he didn't want to run lines with me. You know what I mean? It was a short scene for him, and I'm sure he's got plenty of other things to do. So that's how nice he was. Offered to run lines with Mrs. Chen.
That is awesome. That is like one of the nicest things you can hear about an actor.
I know, like an A-list actor, and I'm like a Z on the, I'm not even on the list. And he is like so humble, introduced himself with first name and a last name. To where it was so shocking, I'm like,
You know, the funny thing is Tom Hardy's probably walking away and going, "She didn't know who I
I know. Who is that moron? I mean, I was just shocked that he would say Tom Hardy. I mean, I knew exactly who he was. I would, what? No, stop, Peggy, stop.
So when you called your parents, like, "I'm in a movie with Tom Hardy and we ran lines, almost ran lines together," did they finally go, "I'm glad you didn't become a pharmacist"?
My mom goes, "But when are you going to take your life seriously, honey?
That's so funny.
How much did you make last year? You could
But
be making, as Dr. Liu, like a six-figure income, honey.
you
You
were
have to
not.
live in a shithole in Hollywood."
But you wouldn't have ran lines with been with Tom Hardy in a scene.
Exactly. And then he wouldn't have hugged me. And he's a good hugger. I mean, he was like, I mean, it wasn't like a fake hug. You know how people just hug with their chest and their ass sticking out? But he hugged with his entire body. Like he was so genuine, sincere. And I felt his sincerity. So then it just kind of calmed me down. Like, okay, I'm cool now. Because he made us equal.
Think a lot of big celebrities would be arrogant and more aloof.
Yes, that was my fear. And plus, he's a guy, and he's such a great actor, and he usually does drama, intense, you know. And I thought, oh, he's probably not gonna talk to me, and like, he's gonna be in his zone. No. I was just so appreciative of him putting me at such ease to where I forgot that that's Tom Hardy. Seriously.
I wouldn't have thought so. Like the guy who played Bane and in Inception and all these other movies, I would not think was just like cool. He seems like he'd be like a tough, like, "Who the hell
Yes.
are you? Get off my," like I know there's certain actors, I'm not gonna say their names, but I know for a fact that when they've been in a scene, they've said they didn't want anyone in their line of eye contact. And I thought to
Exactly.
myself, Tom Hardy, I thought would be one of those guys who like, "She's in my line of sight, get her the hell out of here."
Right. That's right. That was my fear. You know, my fear was always like, oh my God, I'm gonna be like down here, and but he treated us like equals, and I was just so impressed that he was just such a nice, down to earth guy.
That is cool. That's how you would, as a fan, you want to think about the actor, you want to think that they're likable.
Yeah, and at the time, so at the time, I was thinking, well, maybe I should move to Atlanta, you know, and so like me and we had like we were shooting this shit about me moving to Atlanta. I said, "Tom, do you think I should move to Atlanta? Do you think I'd like get more auditions? I would work more if I, you know, move to Atlanta. They probably don't have a lot of Asians in Atlanta." And then this is Tom. Well, he really thought about it, and he says, "Well, you know, I live in England." In-depth conversation about should Peggy Lou move from Hollywood to Atlanta so she could work more because Peggy Lou, in her head, thinks there's no Asians and lives in Atlanta.
Well, that's awesome that Tom Hardy's starting to think about it, like, let's help this lady out and help her career. I got a few minutes of my free time from being a like a multi-millionaire.
Exactly. Yeah, no, yeah. It was just so funny. He was just so cool. So
Well,
in conclusion, he said, Well, honey, I think he didn't say honey, because I think that would have to be up to you. You would have to decide that yourself.
That is awesome.
Yeah, how cool is that, right? And anyway, so now, yeah, that's my story with me and Tom.
Well, you also have the Venom 2. You actually get to perform another scene with Reed Scott and also with Michelle Williams. So what was that like? Were they similar to how Tom Hardy was with you?
Reed Scott. Oh, my gosh. Hilarious. And he has a very sexy, nice smile. He's a nice guy. He's very mellow. And I had to imitate Venom. Right, so Tom was like doing his voice, so I had to copy him.
Yeah,
and Reed was standing right in front of me, and he was like going, like he was doing it with me, you know, so I could get that facial expression and voice, and he was just so funny. He was so he was really cool to work with. Yeah,
so. So when you're doing that scene with the Venom, because when you watch the movie, you have some CGI going on in the face. Did you have a green mask on while you did or anything like that? Or how did that work?
That was at the studio where they put all these electrodes on my face. And then they made me make different emotions. And while the room was spinning 360.
Really?
Yeah. And then this was done in England. And their studio is fucking amazing. It's huge. It looks very different from here.
Yeah.
Even the trailer looks a little different. Yeah. And so the room was spinning 360 with all these different cameras just taking pictures of my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the room is literally moving 360 degrees around.
I'm in a round shape thing, like a spacecraft. So I'm standing here and the round thing, like a pillar. But it's empty. I'm inside, and this whole thing is turning.
Oh my god!
And with cameras attached.
Yeah.
Taking all these pictures. Yeah.
So how easy is it to actually act and try to perform like emotions and emote in a room covered with these dots on your face? You got a thing moving around your face with cameras on it. I mean. That must be the most distracting thing ever. I can't imagine it's easy to stay in character when all that's happening around you.
Well, it happened shortly when I arrived in England. So I was like, so I was really tired. So I was not nervous at all. I think that's my best acting when I'm exhausted. So I'm just thinking, okay, laugh, smile, angry. And then, I was just following directions.
Oh, that's cool. And
it wasn't that hard.
Well, you also have an amazing director. I mean, Andy Serkis. Yeah. Is hugely, we know everybody should know him from Golem, yes. Planet of the Apes. He's amazing. How was he as a director?
So when I got on set, he says, Peggy. At first I thought, oh, it's my friend Tom. It's Andy. And he goes, Peggy. And he just gave me a big hug. I go, oh, hey, Andy, what's up? I am socially challenged, if you haven't noticed. So
that's okay.
And he says, welcome to the set. Let me show you around. And I just, so they drove me from, I got up, they picked me up from the airport, went to wardrobe and took me to the set all in one day. And then so Andy was like, oh, let me show you the set. You're going to love your store. Look it. And I'm like, oh, damn, it looks just like the one I had in Atlanta. Yeah. And so he was really nice. He's very cool. And then I asked him, is there anything, you know, that you need? Like, is there anything you want me to do, work on? And he says, no, just bring whatever you got. I'm like, well, okay. That was very cool.
So what did he tell you about the character of Mrs. Chen? Like, how did they give you any background on her character? Like, this is why she may be like this or that, or any hints to how you should perform it? And especially obviously leading to Venom 1. Did he at least give you any ideas on what he wanted from that character?
No, he was giving me he was giving me a blank canvas. He goes, this is your character. You do what you want. So he's the type, I think, well, at least with me, he was just letting me do whatever I needed to do as an actor. And he never once interfered, except once when I was working with the remote to turn up the volume of the TV. I was just going click, 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 and then he finally came to me and says, "Peggy, you know, when you turn up the volume on your remote, you have to press down a little longer for the volume to go up." I went, "Oh, no shit." And that's what I said to him.
Oh.
I went, "Oh my God, see, I'm so socially challenged." And so that was one thing he did. He did guide me, which was like he catches these such little details.
That's cool. I don't think I would even have thought about that. I mean, once again,
Exactly.
when I'm on the TV doing it, I just do it. I don't think I'd be watching someone and be like, you know, they just clicked that damn thing. That's not how the volume would work. I wouldn't even thought about that.
And that's how detailed Andy was on the set. Like he and I was like thinking, "Oh my gosh, I should have caught that." But volume up, okay, one click. But I thought that was really cool. So that's how he works, and that just tells you so much about who he is as a director.
Yeah, and Andy Serkis is so well known for playing CGI characters. Once again, like Golem, and being one of the very maybe best known motion capture actors. When it was
Right.
your time again to do Venom as motion capture, did he give you any pointers from his experience as a motion caption artist?
No.
No, you just like,
He
you
had,
got this.
yeah, he just go, "Hey man, I'm gonna give you go be your own artist. If you're off, I will tell you." And yeah. And he's really cool like that, to where I get to design Mrs. Chen.
That's awesome. And Mrs. Chen is such a great character. I mean, if you added up the percentage of appearance of Mrs. Chen in Venom, it wouldn't be a lot, but you remember her freaking scenes. I mean, in this entire movie of action and these monsters and everything else, you remember Mrs. Chen in those moments. I mean, it's such a memorable character. She's tough. She's a little bit sass. It's such a good job that you did with such, you know,
Okay,
with her a little
you're
bit.
not blowing shit up my ass, are you?
I actually don't do that.
Okay, good. Thank God.
And the thing is too, I being the one who guessed my guest, if I wasn't interested, I wouldn't have asked.
Oh, I thank you. Well, I appreciate that, because sometimes I feel like I live in a world where I'm not sure if people are telling me the truth. Makes sense.
No, oh, I totally get that. I mean, one thing the little bit I've learned of Hollywood from talking to actors and whatever and doing this is that Hollywood is 9% bullshit, unfortunately. That everyone says yes to things and then you're like, no, they didn't really mean it, apparently. You know?
Like I'm not sure, I'm just not sure. Like the other day, I had a callback on a Zoom,
Yeah.
and the casting director said to me, "You're a lovely actress." I went, "Well, what the fuck does that mean?" I stopped. I don't know how to compliment you, so but you're lovely. You're lovely. And then I think sometimes it gets to my head, like I'm overinterpreting, overanalyzing, and always thinking it's my fault. And so it gets that. So and then of course insecurity kicks in. I go, "Oh God, I should have been a pharmacist full time. I should have been a drug dealer like my parents told me."
Your parents be like, you know what? You might be a drug dealer, but at least she's not an actress.
Yeah. At least you have money. You will be more secure with yourself. You won't be like, you will not be socially challenged like you are today.
But I think the proof that your character, Mrs. Chen, and how you performed it was not only successful but memorable is that you got asked back to do Venom 2. And once again, in a movie where there's so much other characters and things happening, there'd been no need for a character to be brought back unless fans were like, that's a good character right there. And they brought you back, and you actually have some significant roles. You know, you're at the beginning of the movie, and you're great with the Eddie Brock character and how you interact with him. And I kind of almost find it like it's tough, kind of friend, but almost motherly at the same time. It was great. And then later on, you also get to have the Venom scene. And
Yeah.
I think once again that none of it would have happened if people didn't remember you fondly from the first Venom movie and said, she's got to come back. So obviously, it worked well.
Hope you're right.
Oh, of course I am. Well, I'm always right. Just
That's right,
kidding.
because you are the teacher. You are
That's
always right.
right. I tell my students, if I'm not right, it's your grade depends on agreeing with me.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
So what was your reaction when you heard that you were coming back for Venom 2?
Oh, I I was going, fucking amen. Like, I was so, I felt blessed. It was really, yeah, speechless. I was happy. I cried. It's like when I saw the email, I go, what? I'm going to fucking England? What? Yeah. And I got to, and then I was, and I go, what, Andy? And it was just like, and I'm just glad, like, I go, wow, okay.
Maybe. I mean, it was that confirmation of how good of a job you did the first time. Like, did you feel it? Like, I must have been successful
because I have no confirmation for myself. Now, if you want to talk about pharmacy, then yeah, like that, for some reason that I am so confident. You could quiz me about all the fucking vaccinations, you know, like all that stuff. I know, and I'm so secure. But when it comes to this acting. Like I said, I would have my Oscar, Emmy, Grammy, whatever, and then Tony, and then you would ask me, so do you feel now like you're an actor? Hell no.
I don't think so. Well, you know, that's just about, like, I would say as a teacher, I never feel confident as a teacher either. I always, as a teacher, think to myself, you know, am I doing good enough? Did I probably explain this or that to my students? Am I teaching them as well as I could be doing? What can I be doing better? And I must admit, the amount of days I spend driving to school, obsessing over it, and driving home after work, going through my head over and over again, replaying the classes, going, even when they're good, going, yeah, but I could have talked about this. Why didn't I talk about that? And I think if you're doing good and you're trying, and maybe you never feel that way, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel after every damn audition. Oh my God. Yeah. And then your mind just goes,
So
actually I'm a teacher then.
In many ways. At least you know what it feels like to be one.
Yes, I know exactly how that feels. Yeah.
And the cool thing, I think, once again, in the two movies, concerning the amount of scenes that you had, you can literally feel a progression of character in the reaction, in the relationship between Mrs. Chen and Eddie Brock, because the first scene with the robbery, right? You know, once again, doesn't know Eddie Brock. By the, you basically bookend that movie because you have the scene at the end where suddenly you have the reaction of him eating, you know, one of the bad people, and you get that first one. And then the second movie, it already seems like this relationship between you and Eddie Brock is full and developed. And there's a little bit of pattern going on between the two of you. And like, again, I mean, did you think to yourself, went in the second movie, that this progression in your head was happening? Like, hey, by this point in my character, Mrs. Chen, I already must have known Eddie Brock now for a while. We had this interaction with Venom. I mean, did that already kind of come into your head when you're doing it? That's what it felt like to me, that you already in your head had, hey, by this point in the story, me and Eddie Brock now have a really good relationship. At least a fun one where we're kind of poking at each other a little bit.
Right. It's so funny how you should say that, because I feel like in real life, that's how I feel about Tom. Like, oh yeah, like, because, like, oh wow, our relationship has grown. Because then we kind of actually talked about Mrs. Chen, Tom and I, like how I would become Venom when Venom takes over my body. And then we actually had it, me and Tom, like, you know, like, this is how I feel. And I go, this is how I feel. And I feel like our friendship has progressed. Not our professional relationship. It's not like I could call him. We're not like BFFs. But I feel like that it's so parallel to our real life, where me and Venom have grown, like me and Tom has, and the way our working relationship has. And he was so good about, like, okay, this is what I do with my voice. And I go, oh my God, thank you. And he's so good, because, like, you know, they're literally talking to him, like, in because he keeps changing back and forth from Tom to Venom, just without stop. And he's just so good at these transitions. I went, wow. It was like a huge acting class.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And I think the cool thing with Mrs. Chen too, though, like I said, I mean, it just felt like you had layers here and how you did it. It feels like her, how Mrs. Chen reacts to Venom or a world that has Venom, like she's not really fazed by, like you think Mrs. Chen has seen some serious shit to not be fazed by the alien Venom.
Hello, you know, as Chinese people, we were like, we've seen ghosts. I mean, really, literally, I mean, I haven't, not yet. And like in our culture, we're just so into that kind of stuff. Like I grew up with my grandparents, like, we talk about ghosts all the time. We talk about our ancestors coming back. I mean, like, who lives in my grandmother's house? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, so, but then, you know, sometimes I watch Venom 1, I'm thinking at the end, the last scene, when I saw him turn into Venom, I should have, like, should I have fainted? Like, I'm sorry, why didn't I just go and faint? And then I did that. Although I did have a conversation about that with my mom. My mom goes, she didn't call me stupid fuck, but that's probably what she meant. She said, oh my gosh, did you not remember all the ghosts that we have seen when you were a kid at your grandmother's house? I'm like, oh my God, you're right. He said, why would you faint? Chinese people don't faint.
But I think you did it perfect, because once again, it just felt like Mrs. Chen had seen some shit. She's like, fucking alien, whatever. You know, I work at, you know, I've been working here for so many years. I've seen some stuff, you know?
Yeah. That is one thing sometimes I do keep playing in my head going, oh, could that have been better if I were just like, you know, like, how could I have made it funnier and still be Mrs. Chen?
I think what you did was perfect, because like I said, it just felt, I mean, once again, not knowing the character, but just seeing, and then seeing the second movie, you're thinking, yeah, that's Mrs. Chen.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Oh, my God. I really do, because I always regret that, not regret, like keep thinking in my head, how could I have done it differently?
You know, having seen the second movie and being able to look back and reflect upon the second one, because once again, before the interview, I mean, I seen the movies already, but before the interview, I went back and sat with my wife. We watched them back to back again, because, you know, I was like being prepared. And I will say, if you had fainted in the end of the first movie, it wouldn't have worked as well as what you did in the second movie. Because, like, the second movie, there's just a toughness to the character that if you fainted, it would have felt weird in how you acted in the second movie. You know what I'm saying?
You just gave me a light bulb moment. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. That's very true.
Yeah, so you didn't know it at the time, but apparently you had already mentally set up Mrs. Chen to make sense when Venom shows up in the beginning of the second one to go, all right, see, she's prepared. You know, she's not fazed by this stuff, because it worked and it was consistent. So yeah, I will say that you did the right thing, in my opinion.
Thank you. I'm going to tell my mom that she actually agrees with you. That makes sense. That makes more sense than the way my mom pitched it to me. I go, what the hell? Well, okay.
So, once again, the cool thing also about what's going on with Venom is, honestly, from people who are following, is that Venom has now been dropped into the Marvel Universe.
Right.
So Mrs. Chen now is part of the Marvel Universe. So how does she be part of the Marvel Universe?
I hope Spider-Man come to my store.
The rumors are he'll be in the third movie. So if he's really in the movie, the rumors are that if there's Venom 3, Spider-Man is going to be in it. It's only the rumor mill. Once again, I don't know any sources directly, but the rumor is the third Venom movie is going to have Spider-Man in it.
Right.
And if he does, Mrs. Chen has to be in this movie, and Spider-Man has to show up and visit. That's my opinion. If Sony's listening, I've already given you the idea. You better do it.
Ray. I know.
And like I said, it must be great. You're literally now part of the biggest franchise in the history of movies. Because, like I said, Marvel is, what, now 24, 25 movies big now? Adding Venom technically to it now gets it bigger. So you're one of the largest franchises in the entire history of movies. That must be pretty damn cool.
When you put it like that. Yes. I've never heard it like that before. Go, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, see. Yes. It's fucking amazing. Yes.
Well, thank you so much and have a fantastic night.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff. And happy holidays.
And you as well. Enjoy your new year.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem.
Nice to meet you.
You as well.